This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where one of the greatest subjects for intense debate in this great nation involves the existence of God, the existence and the beneficial nature or destructive nature of religious faith, and the place for all of that for the what is called the theory of evolution. Richard Dawkins insists evolution is not a theory, it is a fact. And that is the theme of his book. It is called The Greatest Show on Earth, The Evidence for Evolution. His immediate previous book, called The God Delusion, was a spectacularly successful bestseller all around the world, with a huge number, hundreds of thousands of copies purchased, and a tremendously influential book, The God Delusion, helped to launch a spirited new debate about the nature of man and the universe. And for that, Professor Dawkins, we thank you, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Let me begin with, I'm sure, something you've been asked about many, many times. It is clearly meant at the very beginning of your book to inspire controversy. You specifically compare advocates of intelligent design who would question Darwinian evolution. You compare them to Holocaust deniers. Why do you believe that that is an apt comparison?
Not so much intelligent design. My comparison is with what I call history deniers, to people who deny the history of the world and claim that the world is only 6,000 years old. That was my actual comparison. The world is, in fact, 4.6 billion years old. The difference between those two, obviously, is dramatically great. And so that seemed to me to be history denial on the same scale as Holocaust denial. In both cases, the historical evidence is clear. The Holocaust definitely happened. The world is definitely billions of years old, not thousands of years old. So both of them are history deniers. I did not wish to imply any kind of political concordance between them. There clearly isn't.
Okay, aside from the political concordance, even if you... And I want to come back to some of the promotional material that's been released from your book, which very specifically talks about intelligence design in the context of Holocaust.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yeah, and which you'll agree, that's unfair.
Oh, what's unfair?
That it's unfair to equate advocates of intelligent design with Holocaust deniers.
Yes, of course it is, and I didn't do that. I compared Holocaust deniers to young Earth creationists.
Okay, so you will acknowledge that most Holocaust deniers do have an agenda that is malevolent.
It's a malevolent agenda inspired by anti-Semitism.
Right. Would you say the same thing about young Earth creationists?
Of course
not. They have
okay.
Yeah, no. They do not have a malevolent agenda.
No, I think they have an ignorant agenda.
Okay. Yeah. So isn't it a bit dangerous and unfair to equate ignorance to malevolence?
Not if you're clear, as I am. I'm equating one thing, which is their denial of history. I call them both history deniers. I demonstrate that young Earth creationists are history deniers. I then cast around to say, where else can we find history deniers? The best example I can find of history deniers is Holocaust deniers. There's no other resemblance, but that's an important resemblance. I'm interested in the history of the world, and this is an important matter.
I was struck recently by a column you wrote in the Wall Street Journal, and in fact I was so struck about it, I blogged about it and wrote about it, because you are put on the same page with Karen Armstrong, and a lot of the material in your column is based on material in your book. What struck me most about your column, and I think you know where I'm going, is your acknowledgement that it might be possible that in this vast, vast universe with literally billions of stars, galaxies that we know about, and many, many more that we don't know about, you acknowledge that it is possible that life in any form could be unique to this one planet.
Yes, it would be very surprising, because as you say, the number of planets is simply huge. And so on the same principle as, you know, we were wrong about thinking the world was the center of the universe and so on, we very probably would be wrong if we thought that this was the only planet that had life. Nevertheless, it is possible. because we have no evidence to the contrary. I forget whether I said this in the Wall Street Journal. I said that. But the next point I'm going to make, which is that if it were true that this was the only planet in the universe that had life, that would have dramatic consequences. What it would mean is that the origin of life would have to be a truly spectacularly rare event. And that means that we'd be wasting our time trying to explain it. And we can explain evolution, which happens after the origin of life, but if it were true that this were the only planet among all those billions that has life, then we would be wasting our time trying to develop a theory of the origin of life. I don't actually think it is true. I think there probably is quite a lot of life around the universe, although not enough for us probably to be likely ever to meet another specimen of it, unfortunately.
Okay. I'm pleased to hear your acknowledgement. One of the things you said in the Wall Street Journal was you said that you cannot say for certain that life exists elsewhere, that there might be life only here, but you were very certain that if life does exist elsewhere, it would be subject to Darwinian evolution.
Well, I wouldn't say very certain. That would be my best guess. I have a fairly strong hunch that certainly we know of no other mechanism that could give rise to anything as complicated or apparently designed as life. And I think it's highly probable that if we do find life elsewhere in the universe, it will turn out to be Darwinian in some sense. I mean, not in a detailed sense. It probably won't have DNA, but it will have something sort of equivalent to DNA.
But there is no Darwinian means, and you don't attempt this in your book, really, in The Greatest Show on Earth, your new book, which is posted up on our website for people who are interested. There's no Darwinian means for explaining what you just talked about, the origins of life. How you go, in other words, you can go in a dark, as you do elegantly in your book, from very simple unicellular organisms, you can go all the way to human beings, to us sitting here, but you can't go from dead rock to live matter.
That's absolutely correct. The Darwinian theory starts when you have the origin of a self-replicating entity, something like DNA. Darwinian theory itself does not explain the origin of life. We need another theory for the origin of life. That theory will come from the subject of chemistry rather than biology, and we still lack that theory. It is a gap in our knowledge.
Let us go to Jonathan in Poulsbo, Washington. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Richard Dawkins.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The issue of history deniers, now I confess, Dr. Dawkins, I've read several of your books, but not the most recent. I did, however, read an excerpt from the book published in Newsweek recently.
Yes.
In which you use the term history deniers to refer to people who deny that humans share a common ancestor with chimpanzees.
Yes.
Which, of course, is different from the age of the Earth issue.
I don't remember the prime. I would be happy to use it for both.
I am not a young Earth creationist. I have no problem with the age of the Earth. But as a biologist, I do have a problem with the idea that humans share a common ancestor with chimpanzees.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
I see
no mechanism biologically to get from there to here.
From where to where?
From an ape-like primate to a human or chimpanzee.
We are ape-like primates. There's no question of getting to it. We are ape-like primates.
Well, then an ancestor who is not human.
Yes. I mean, what you have to get from is a common ancestor with chimpanzees, which lived about 7 million years ago and which gave rise to chimpanzees on one hand and gave rise to us on the other. Have a problem with that?
That's the claim I object to. I challenge that.
Did you say you're a teacher of biology?
I am a biologist.
Jonathan, give a basis for your objection.
Well, as I said, we see no mechanism in biology that would get you from there to here. For example, we see lots of evidence for changes within existing species, and most of the evidence cited for Darwinism is precisely that. But the extrapolation from that to the origin of new species and organs and body plans is non-existent. The evidence for that is non-existent.
No, if you go for sufficient length of time, you're talking about change within a species. If you take the change within a species and then just produce that for a bit longer and a bit longer and a bit longer, at some point, imperceptibly, they will gradually become so different that they can no longer interbreed easily, then they can no longer interbreed at all. At that point, they're different species. This happens all the time. What's the problem with it?
Okay, we will, Jonathan, if you want to provide an answer to that, we will give you a few moments on the other end.
This is a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, a best of. Lots more coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Michael Medved here for Washington Policy Center. Over a million kids were subjected to learning loss and emotional harms caused by prolonged school shutdowns in our state. Now, those kids are being passed through the system without the harms being addressed. What if parents could direct funding so that their children receive the extra tools or tutoring they need? What if parents could choose the school that best fit their child rather than a one-size-fits-all system? Fund students, not systems. Go to fundstudentsfirst.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. A Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news. News on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
This is the Michael Medved Show, michaelmedved.com.
When his last bestseller, Richard Dawkins, wrote about what he called the God delusion, attacking religion in general and evidence of God in particular, his new book, The Greatest Show on Earth, is not an attack. It is rather an exposition and a defense of the science and the evidence behind Darwinian evolution. Evidence which has not persuaded Jonathan from Poulsbow, Washington. Jonathan, your last point to Professor Dawkins.
Well, my objection to the theory is that no mechanism has been demonstrated that would produce, certainly not natural selection and mutation, has been demonstrated to produce the new species and organs and body plans required by Darwinian evolution.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's just wrong. I mean, when you say you're a biologist, are you a professional biologist? Are you at a university?
I am a professional biologist trained at Berkeley.
You're trained at Berkeley?
Yes, trained at Berkeley.
I taught at Berkeley.
did you encounter Professor Dawkins when you were at Cal Berkeley, Jonathan?
I think I went to a book talk by you there once.
Okay, but did you actually study biology at Berkeley?
Yes.
And you came out thinking there's no mechanism to go from a common ancestor to chimpanzees and humans.
Well, there are speculative mechanisms. I'm saying that there is no demonstrated mechanism that can do that.
Well, I'm shocked at my old university.
Okay, what's the best, if you were to try to counter Jonathan with reference to specific chapters in your book, which chapters in The Greatest Show on Earth should he consult first?
Well, I think the chapter on comparative molecular genetics, showing the comparative evidence, comparing each species with each other species, looking at the same genes in different species. If you've got a digital code here, the genes are actually digital, you can compare them letter by letter, word by word. And if you look at humans and chimpanzees, they're very, very similar indeed, just to say mice and rats are very similar to each other. You've got a beautiful hierarchical pattern of similarity, a hierarchy just like a branching tree. It is a branching tree. It's a family tree. The only alternative to a family tree, when you look at it this way, is that God deliberately set out to deceive us in the most devious way you could imagine.
Let's go to Todd in San Antonio, Texas. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Richard Dawkins.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a biology educational background, and I am also a Christian, and I believe in intelligent design, but I believe in an old earth, and I'm open to the possible truth behind the theory of evolution. I think that people should have an open mind toward intelligent design and toward Darwinian evolution and be willing to look at the evidence. And my own faith doesn't rest upon whether God did it instantly or whether he did it over eons of time. I believe that ultimately life originated from God.
I'll tell you where Richard Dawkins disagrees with you. Is he thinks that if you have an open mind, the evidence is already so overwhelming, as he puts it, evolution is not a theory, it is a fact. A fact of life. And Professor Dawkins?
Well, I'm all in favor of open minds, obviously, and of looking at the evidence. And as Mr. Medved said, I think the evidence does point overwhelmingly in one direction. Of course, you know that any respectable bishop or priest would agree with you that evolution is true, but they would say something like God did it, which I take it to be roughly your position, that you think evolution is right, but do you think that God perhaps had a hand in starting it off, or do you actually think that God controlled the actual direction that it went in?
I don't presume to, speak for God. I think there's, in my opinion, overwhelming evidence that there's intelligence behind the design of the universe and the way things function. I'll admit I have bias in that direction, but I don't presuppose to know whether God, had his hand in the entire process or whether he started the watch and let go.
Blind Watchmaker, by the way, is another book by Richard Dawkins. Let us go to Bruce in Seattle. Bruce, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Dawkins.
Well, thank you for taking my call. First of all, Dr. Dawkins, is Bruce Chapman from Discovery Institute calling. I was frustrated with this conversation because most of the time I hear straw man arguments about intelligent design. Your new book apparently doesn't really deal with intelligent design, but it seems to me that in your previous book you said it's a question of science, that there is a scientific, it is a scientific argument. I congratulate you for that. But if it is, how about having a debate with Stephen Meyer, who is the author of another new book, The Signature in the Cell, which deals with this question and have this in a respectful, civilized, scholarly fashion where you look at the scientific arguments, pro and con. And
now, when you say that I don't deal with intelligent design, I do, because I deal with creationism, and, of course, intelligent design is simply another name for creationism.
Well, if it's another name for creationism, why do you distinguish between creationism and intelligent design very early in this program?
I don't.
Hold on, Bruce. You did, earlier on, when we were talking about the Holocaust denier analogy, you said you applied that analogy to old Earth creationists. Intelligent design advocates are not old Earth creationists.
Sorry. I applied the history deniers to young Earth creationists.
I'm sorry, to young Earth creationists, yes.
But you
know that intelligent design advocates are not young Earth creationists.
And that was the distinction, that was precisely the distinction that I was making. That's why I said that I was not accusing intelligent design people of being history deniers in that sense.
Said that intelligent design is another name for creationism.
It is another name for creationism, but not for young Earth creationism.
Bruce Chapman?
In that case, you've got an argument with your previous caller also, because that would be a theistic evolutionist proposition, which is also, at some point, by your definition, if it's not Darwinian evolution, it is creationism in some fashion. There isn't any other kind of evolution as far as you're concerned.
Where do you guys think that? I mean, do you think it means God did it?
I don't know. I don't think
that's what you say. You always pretend it might have been an alien from outer space or something.
Well, you know very well that what you mean is God. Expelled, but I think that was your line and expelled. But I think the thing that you really ought to consider, in all seriousness, is that there is, by your own definition, there is a scientific argument. Put that scientific argument to the test, not with somebody who's, you know, a straw man that you bring up, but have somebody like Meyer, who has written a very scholarly book, to actually debate this topic with you, or just have a discussion about it.
All right, the proposal's on the table. Response from Professor Dawkins. Thank you, Bruce.
I will have a discussion with somebody who has a genuinely different scientific point of view. I have never come across any form of creationism, whether you call it intelligent design or not, which has a serious scientific case to put. The objection to having debates with people like that is that it gives them a kind of respectability. If a real scientist goes onto a debating platform with a creationist, it gives a kind of respectability which I do not think that your people have earned.
We will be right back with Richard Dawkins, the author of The Greatest Show on Earth, The Evidence for Evolution, and more of your calls.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
You're listening to a best of The Michael Medved Show. For complete show archives, go to MichaelMedved.com and consider becoming a Medhead. Use the promo code SPRING40 for some special discounts. When you become a premium subscriber, you get access to hundreds of Michael's commentaries, movie reviews, exclusive podcasts, and of course, our commercial-free radio show going back years and years. It's all at michaelmedved.com. Click on the Medhead banner today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
You USA News Update. Federal officials investigating the toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, say what happened was 100% preventable. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy detailed how a wheel bearing on one of the train cars overheated and failed. She said there's no evidence so far train crews did anything wrong or that there were track defects. The power outages are rising. Weather records are dropping as a winter storm smacks the U.S. Michigan is the epicenter for outages. More than 800,000 people are in the dark. With this week's Arctic blast of rain and snow, Southern California drivers are not all accustomed to navigating conditions like those. The CHP is recommending drivers stay home, and this driver agrees.
So you got chains and everything, you know, just in case. You have to be prepared with flashlights, you know, everything, you know, blankets. You never know.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Listening to a best of the Michael Medved show.
And I should say that Richard Dawkins' new book, The Greatest Show on Earth, it's based upon a t-shirt that he was given in which evolution was described as the greatest show on earth, the only show in town. And in Seattle tonight, the only show in town with Dr. Dawkins is at the University of Washington at the Heck Edmondson Pavilion. Doors opening at 7 p.m. for those listeners who are interested in attending. Will there be a chance for questions?
Oh, most definitely, yes.
In your lecture tonight?
Yes.
All right, that's tonight at the University of Washington. And I also should note that this book, though we're speaking in sometimes heated terms with Dr. Dawkins and with callers about some of his arguments in this book and others, this book is illustrated with a series of handsome full-color plates helping to lay out what he describes as the evidence for evolution. Let's go to Jack in San Antonio, Texas. You're on the MedVet Show.
Hello, Mr. Dawkins.
Hello.
I've been reading there's some new evidence that shows that we might not be related to the Neanderthal or Homo erectus species, to which some paleoanthropologists are now saying it must be that we evolved following a different path from some earlier species like that Homo habilis. If this turns out to be true, and without any intermittent remains to show a gradual change, will true believers in evolution be forced to claim that in a relatively short period of time, Homo habilis somehow went into an extremely fast form of evolution, a sort of turbo evolution to produce the first humans, that so-called mitochondrial Eve that appeared in Ethiopia near the Red Sea?
I'm not familiar with the research that you're talking about. It wouldn't be that dramatic, actually, because if you look at all those fossils, whether Homo habilis, Homo erectus, or Neanderthal, they're all pretty much the same. And so if what you're suggesting is that Homo erectus is not our direct ancestor, which is normally considered to be, but if Homo erectus is not, and if we're descended from Homo habilis by a different route, then that would not be too dramatic a finding. It would be all of a piece with other minor upsets that have occurred in the history of biology. So it would be very interesting, but it wouldn't be a major revolutionary finding.
Let's go to Andrew in Minneapolis. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Richard Dawkins.
See, I just have a question, Mr. Dawkins. What I'm not understanding is your process of thinking. You made the comment about, you know, the issue of the Holocaust, and people who deny it are, you immediately slide into it's malicious and anti-Semitic, which I must first say that the Jews of Europe are not Semites. Hebrew Arabic is not their primary language. But regardless, how do you go from, you know, your study and your experience and then say that this issue is off limits, you cannot question it? And then if people who do question it, you label them with basically a moral failure on their part.
We have a Holocaust denier on our hands, do we hear?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. I don't wish to argue about that. It's not the subject of my book. It was simply an analogy that I was making. It's a very small part of the book. I could argue about Holocaust denial, but I don't think you'll find many people on your side, and I don't really think I want to talk about it.
I appreciate your response, Professor Dawkins. Let's go to Jason, Taylorville, Illinois. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Richard Dawkins, who is not a Holocaust denier.
I just was going to ask Richard. I believe in creationism, and I do that out of faith, which is, I feel like it might enrich my life. I want to know why he cares. Why he dedicated his life to changing my mind.
And that's by the way, Jason, that's a fascinating and it seems to me important question.
Are you suggesting to me that you allow what makes you feel good, what enriches your life, to govern what you think is true about the real world?
Well, you define faith to me.
Faith is belief in something without evidence.
Okay, why do you have a problem if believing in a creator makes me live a more enriched, fulfilling life? The evidence is overwhelming.
What I have a problem with, I don't mind how you get an enriched and fulfilled life. What I do have a problem with is if you go from there to saying that X gives me a fulfilled and enriched life, therefore, what X says about the world is true. If say, a belief in fairies gave you an enriched and fulfilled life, you'd be welcome to have that enriched and fulfilled life. That would not make fairies exist.
But historically, belief in God has worked somewhat better than belief in fairies.
Nevertheless,
and if you apply Darwinian principles about natural selection, why haven't religious impulses been selected out? We'll get to that and more with Richard Dawkins.
You're listening to a special Best of the Michael Medved Show. If you want to go into the archives and visit the radio shows from 2015, 2010, and even before, become a Medhead at michaelmedved.com. When you become a Medhead at michaelmedved.com, you get access to years and years of our previous shows, hundreds of Michael's commentaries, movie reviews, exclusive podcasts, and more. And it's also just a great way to support the show. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the Medhead banner, and subscribe today. Use the promo code SPRING40 for a special discount.
On the Michael Medved Show, let me follow up with Richard Dawkins, the author of The Greatest Show on Earth. In this book and in previous books, you acknowledge that evolution doesn't stop. It's a continuous process. Right? I mean, you're
yes.
Nodding. Yes. You're nodding.
Sorry, I must remember it's radio.
Right. Oh, sure. But if evolution is a continuous process, then once we develop as Homo sapiens and the current man in his current form was here, it hasn't. We've continued to evolve. Wouldn't you think that given your negative view of religious faith, your negative view of people who believe in fairies or believe in things that simply aren't true, that through evolutionary pressure, there would be natural selection operating to greatly reduce the number of people who have deep, abiding, life-changing, and to us, life-enhancing religious faith? Shouldn't that be a trait in humankind that is selected out by the Darwinian process.
Remember that Darwinian selection is not necessarily producing what any one person would regard with a value judgment as of high value. What natural selection favors is the ability to reproduce. And in order for something to be favored by natural selection, what that actually means on the ground is that individuals who have that quality have more children than individuals who don't. So to say that religious belief, for example, has a selective advantage simply means religious people would have more children than non-religious
and
people.
And would survive long enough to have children. And more
would survive, long enough to have children. But nowadays, since surviving long enough to have children is pretty easy, few people die young in civilized societies anyway, that means that having children itself is the main thing. So if there is a genetic component, which there probably isn't, but if there is a genetic component to either religious belief and or tendency to want to have lots of children or tendency to have lots of children, then we do indeed have a possible positive selection pressure in favor of whatever it takes to make people want to have children. So if a certain religious belief makes you have larger families, for example, then there would be selective advantage in that. But that's all it would mean. It doesn't have to mean goodness in any other sense.
Again, I'm not talking about goodness. I'm just talking about, in other words, wouldn't you assume that just logically, that people believing something that was a destructive illusion, you can name your own people believing in the great spaghetti monster in the sky, and as someone who's ridiculed traditional faith by talking about the great spaghetti monster, that kind of belief, if you allow that belief to animate your life and to determine a lot of your behavior, that would be a maladaptation, that would be something that would make it tougher for someone to reproduce successfully over generations.
I think it's complicated. I think that what we have here is possibly, we're going back now way before civilized life to a time when we really were subject to the cutting edge of natural selection. What I do think is probably that something like religious belief did have survival advantage because it's so ubiquitous. All societies in the world.
Right.
Have religion of some kind or another.
Right.
So probably the way I'd put it would be that a psychological predisposition which leads people to religion under the right conditions, the kind of predisposition I'm thinking of might be a tendency to be obedient to authority, the tendency to believe what your elders tell you. Now, I could well imagine that would have positive survival value, a child especially. You need to believe what your parents tell you. Don't pick up the snake. You have to believe that or you don't lived long enough to reproduce. So a tendency to have a brain, a child brain, that believes what its parents tell it is likely to have survival value. Now that brain is automatically vulnerable to any other things that parents tell it, whether or not they are well-founded.
Lots more coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. A Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Based on 30 hours of intimate interviews, the superb new PBS documentary, Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in his own words, allows the Supreme Court Justice to tell his remarkable story just as he had narrated to family members or close friends. His recollections come alive through expertly edited still photos and film footage showing his rise from desperate poverty in the segregated South to appointment to the nation's highest court. His confirmation process, nearly derailed by last-minute, clearly dubious charges by one-time aide Anita Hill, makes for riveting viewing, highlighting a much younger Joe Biden's bumbling role as chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The two-hour film is rated PG-13 for some of the salacious aspects of Anita Hill's testimony, but viewers of all ages will feel inspired by the heartfelt patriotism and deep religious faith that allow Justice Thomas to transcend every obstacle. Created Equal, a masterful piece of work, clearly counts among the year's best films. I'm Michael Medved.
You're listening to a best of the Michael Medved Show.
Last thing on this, and then we'll go back to our callers. But is it not possible that that survival advantage, which you acknowledge could be there for religious faith because it's so ubiquitous, it's found absolutely everywhere, that part of that survival advantage could be simply the idea of a long-term horizon of people's tendency, of some people more than others, to be cognizant of mortality and of death and yes. of the possibility of an afterlife, and that could confer, in fact, a survival advantage.
I think it really could. I mean, if, say, we were all motivated the whole time by a fear of death, and if that impaired our performance in life, if we were so busy worrying about death that we didn't actually get on with life, then having some kind of a belief, whether true or false, that makes you believe you're going to survive your death, could have an advantage. More generally, I think a tendency to optimism, a tendency to believe that for young men, I mean, young men have a tendency to take risks and to believe that they're impregnable, invulnerable. Maybe that does have an advantage, especially in an animal that perhaps needed to have warriors to go and fight for the tribe or something like that. If you believe that you're going to survive your death, you'd be a braver warrior.
Appreciate it. Let us go to Joey in Marietta, Georgia. Joey, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Richard Dawkins, author of The Greatest Show on Earth.
Yes, Dr. Dawkins, I have a mathematics background, not in biology or archaeology, and I was raised a creationist, and I've been reading your book. I'm about halfway through. In the chapter on human ancestors, you talked about all the different skeletons of these different ancestral species, but it seems whenever I read reports about these skeletons or new findings, they always seem to be just like, you know, one bone here, a tooth here, or even fragments of these bones that are reconstructed into these skeletons. And so, I mean, how complete are these skeletons actually that we have?
Well, you're right. Lots of them are very fragmentary, but there's enough in each one of the major species, like Homo erectus, Australopithecus africanus, Australopithecus robustus, Australopithecus afarensis, and Ardipithecus ramidus, which has recently been announced.
The 4.4 million year old.
There is enough of these. They're not always totally complete. Sometimes there's an important bone missing. But if you piece together the different fragments from different places, we've got pretty good idea of what at least those four species were like. There are lots of other fragments, and it would be nice to have more, and no doubt more will be dug up as time goes on.
And speaking of as time goes on, when we come back, one of the questions that is raised by The Greatest Show on Earth, you present here the current evidence for evolution. Does Richard Dawkins expect that there will be even better evidence for evolution or evidence for a material creation, materialistic creation of life from non-living matter? We will be right back with Richard Dawkins, author of The Greatest Show on Earth.
You're listening to a best of The Michael Medved Show. For complete show archives, go to michaelmedved.com and consider becoming a Medhead. Use the promo code SPRING40 for some special discounts. When you become a premium subscriber, you get access to hundreds of Michael's commentaries, movie reviews, exclusive podcasts, and of course our commercial-free radio show going back years and years. It's all at michaelmedved.com. Click on the Medhead banner today.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. During the period of home isolation, I've looked more deeply into messages in the traditional prayers I recite every morning. For instance, a key passage in ancient Jewish liturgy is the Yishtabach, or the God be praised prayer. It concludes by hailing, quote, the God of thanksgivings, Master of Wonders, who chooses melodious songs. Now, this should remind us that music, with its mysterious power to stir souls, is a divine gift, but also that not all music is created equal. We praise God not for creating music, humans do that, but for choosing the right songs. So what music would God choose? I'd assume heaven would select enduring achievements of the last 300 years, possessing depth and spirituality, rather than superficial yelps that may prove popular but fleeting. God's playlist more likely features Bach and Mozart over hip-hop or techno-pop. That meaningful choice could help all of us endure this devastating interruption in our lives. I'm Michael Medved.
Richard Dawkins, A Greatest Show on Earth, the title of his latest book. My last question for me, and then we'll go to our callers in just a moment. The question was, do you expect better evidence still to arrive to support evolution? And do you expect some of that evidence to contain some convenient material explanation for how you evolve from dead rocks into living matter?
Yes, I certainly expect better evidence of the same kind we're already getting, particularly molecular genetic evidence is going to be piling up hugely. It gets cheaper all the time, dramatically so, and so we're going to get a huge amount of evidence of that sort. There should be lots more fossils as well. Now, your question about evidence on the transition from non-life to life.
Mm.
That's a big one. That we may never get. I hope we will. People are working on it. It wouldn't be so much from rocks. It might be from some hypothetical primeval soup in the early years of the world.
They've been talking about that for years.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. The current most promising hypothesis seems to be the so-called RNA world hypothesis, using RNA, which, as you know, is somewhat like DNA, but a bit different. RNA has some properties that make it less good than DNA at doing what DNA does, but it can do something that DNA can't do, which is catalyze chemical reactions. And so some of the most promising work going on at the moment is on the so-called RNA world theory. I do expect progress in that, but it may never actually come to anything.
I thought it would always be a great brand name if someone released a line of primeval soup.
Yes, a lovely idea.
Yes, let's go to Murdoch in Dallas very quickly. Murdoch, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Professor Dawkins.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My question, and I am calling as an African-American, is that I've seen many, many arguments for racism that extend from Darwinian evolution. And some of his early writings definitely show that in the way that the species is favored over time, white races were thought to be the dominant race.
Okay, quick comment from Richard Dawkins.
There's no question but that Darwin was racist in the sense that we would understand today. In Victorian times, everybody was racist. Darwin was no exception, and he did indeed make assumptions just such as you've made. Modern Darwinians don't do that, and indeed, a true understanding of the Darwinian theory goes actively against racism. True understanding shows that all the races should be considered to be equal and actually very, very closely related to one another. There is absolutely no basis for racism in evolutionary theory, although there is in the historical figure of Charles Darwin, just as there would be of any of any Victorian man.
Someone born in 1809.
Yes.
Richard Dawkins, the book The Greatest Show on Earth, his previous book The God Delusion, An Attack on Religious Faith, a gleeful attack on religious faith.
A humorous one, I hope.
Well, at points. Yes. This book, a defense, and also a humorous one in many places, of Darwinian evidence in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. A new study of the aging process demolishes one of the chief leftist claims about health care, that government control can eliminate inequality. The research conducted by Harvard and University College London looked at more than 25,000 people over 50 in the U.S. and the U.K. In both countries, subjects with higher net worth enjoyed an identical advantage of 8 to 9 disability-free years compared to those with little or no personal wealth. The results shocked experts who expected that Britain's highly touted government-funded National Health Service would produce more equal outcomes than the United States. Data strongly suggests the real difference in health and longevity reflect common patterns in both countries, where the poor are far more likely to smoke, to consume unhealthy diets, to abuse drugs and alcohol, and shun regular exercise. In both America and Britain, health depends less on government programs than on lifestyle choices we can control. I'm Michael Medved.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft, Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.